to be covered by God and walk in the area of your destiny. You can't be limited to just working with people who look like you, or think like you, or vote like you, or dress like you. You got to get out the box, because God's going to use a whole lot of people to bless you, to move in and out of your life, and you can't be narrow or one-dimensional. This is a coat of many colors. Oh, yes. It's a coat of many colors. Do not categorize the blessing by colors. It is not the colors you need to watch. It is the character. Watch out for the character. I'm going to tell you, there are three basic types of people that you will interact with if you are a child of destiny. Can I share this with you? The first group are confidants. Confidants. You will have very few of them. Confidants are those people in your life who love you unconditionally. They are into you. Whether you're up or down, right or wrong, they are into you. They are in for the long haul. If you get in trouble, they get in trouble with you. They'll come see you in the jailhouse. They'll come get you out the crack house. They're confidants. You can open up and share anything with them. You'll never inherit your kingdom until you find your confidant. You can't be David till you find your Jonathan. Having a good confidant is the key that unlocks the kingdom, because you were raised outside the gate and God's going to cause you to reach over the wall. You got to have a confidant behind the wall who can mentor you for what God is going to do next in your life. The problem with most people is that everybody they run around with is under them. And so you are forever feeding people who can't feed you. And after years of feeding them, they begin to drain you. You've got to have somebody who can feed you so you can feed somebody else. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Am I talking to anybody in here? You need the confidant then. The confidant is those few people that come along in your life that are for you. They are with you. They are intimately intertwined in your life. They are there to make sure that you reach your destiny. They will confront you. They will get in your face. They will get in your business. They will tell you when you're wrong, because they are confidants. If you have two or three of them in a lifetime, you are a blessed person. Without them, you'll never be who God called you to be. You need to find your confidant. Number two, the other group are your constituents. They are not into you. They are into what you are for. They are for what you are for. They are your constituents. And as long as you are for what they are for, they will walk with you and work with you and labor with you, but never think that they are for you. They are for what you are for. And you have to know that, because if they meet somebody else that will further their agenda, they will leave you and hook up with them, because they were never for you. They were just for what you were for. They are your constituents. And throughout your life, if you're not careful, particularly if you're broken, you will mistake your constituents for your confidants. And you will think that they are for you when they are really not for you. They are just for what you are for. And by the time you get through falling in love with them, they will break your heart as they hook up with somebody else who is for what you are for, because it was never about you anyway. It was about the causes that you represent. They are for what you are for, but they are not for you. They are your constituents. Can I go deeper with this? The third group are your comrades. These people are not for you, nor are they for what you are for. It is just that they are against what you are against. And the comrades will make strange bedfellows. This will cause people to come together who are not for you, and they are not for what you are for, but they are against what you are against. And they will team up with you to help fight a greater enemy. But don't be confused by their associations. They will only be with you until the victory is accomplished. These people are like scaffolding. They come into your life to fulfill a purpose. And when the purpose is complete, the scaffolding is removed. But don't be upset when they are removed, because the building always remains when the scaffolding is removed. What I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, expect the constituents and the comrades to leave you and desert you after a while. Don't be upset when they don't react to your dream the way you expected them to, because they were never really with you in the first place. Be careful then who you tell your dream to, because if you tell your dream to your constituents, they will desert you and try to fulfill the dream without you. If you tell it to your comrades, they won't support it, because they never were for what you were for anyway. If you find a few people in your entire life with whom you can share your dream with, you are a blessed somebody. I can tell you how to identify people who are really for you. If they are really for you, they will weep with you when you weep, and they will rejoice when you rejoice. When you walk in a room and you tell somebody good news, stop being happy for a minute and watch their reaction. If they're not happy for you, shut your mouth and walk back out of the door. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you. Oh, yeah, because when they are really connected to you, they will be happy for you when you share your dream. Find somebody, look them in the eye and say, are you happy for me? If you don't get the right reaction, don't tell them anything else. You need somebody who's really going to be happy for you. I don't want just anybody praying for me. I don't want none of them haters praying for me, because you know you hate me and you don't want me to succeed. I want somebody praying for me who really wants me to be blessed, who wants me to be an overcomer, so you can put up your oil and stop speaking in tongues, because you know you never did speak to me anyway, and ain't no need in you coming up here and hospital like you gonna pray some cancer up off of me. I'd rather have somebody who really loves me lay across the bed and rebuke the devil. And God is so faithful, he'll always give you somebody.
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
That's right. Tonight, the Men's Healing Circle, right here at the 2251 Florin Road in the Obama Room. And let me tell you about last night. Last night was powerful, but we're going to keep moving. I played that insert by T.D. Jakes today because of all that he's going through, right, with all the accusations. And people always want to put something on you, you know, without knowing things, right? I'm not saying that he right, wrong. I'm not the judge of any of that. What I'm saying is people sure know how to drag your name and drag you all the way until they can't drag you no more. They wait on a chance to drag you. Even in my life, people wait to drag me, right? So I stay out of their way, man. That's the best thing for me, is to stay out their way. Continue to do what you do as a human being. Continue to be the human being that you are, and not allow people to change you, because people can change you if you let them. This is the Wise Words with One Gone Show. It's a wonderful Wednesday. Wise Words with Wednesday. Wise Words Wednesday on Wise Words with One Gone Show. I'm going to pass this mic over to the host with the most. I see double R's in the car, and that might be Mama Chocolate on the other end, but we'll find out. Marvell, how are you this morning, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. And yourself?
Oh, man, I've seen better days, but today is a good day.
Yeah. I understand that. I mean, it could be better. It's okay, but it could be better, and that's the good part for me, that it could always be better. So I want to welcome our faithful contributors as well as our listening audience to another segment of our movement to raise the consciousness of our people and to make this country what they claim already claim to be, but have yet to become the greatest country in the world. It will become that once we are given equity and our ability to express ourselves without prejudice or bias.
Yes, sir. Double R, you in the car?
Top of the top, Black family. Double R in the car with the seatbelt on. Got my pen and paper. Let's roll.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got a caller from 831. Caller from the 831. Hello.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kings. This is Mama Chocolate.
Morning.
All right. Hey, so it's a lot going on, right? And I feel that, you know, everybody's going through something. I'm going through it, and I just don't have the courage to put it out in the atmosphere, because sometimes when you put stuff out there, you never know who's listening. You never know who's waiting for the opportunity to take what you said, put a twist on it, and put it back in the atmosphere, right? It happens all the time. And so I did that maybe a couple of weeks ago about my son. I don't know if you listeners remember, I was talking about my son and his behavior and how he has changed a little bit here and there, and he's doing a lot better than he was. And so somebody took that information, twisted it a little bit, and put it back in the atmosphere where one of my wife's family members caught a hold to it, right? And, man, let me tell you, man, woo, wow, woo. But another thing, I don't care. See, when you don't care about nothing and you care about self and what self is doing in this world and how I approach different things and how much I give of myself to any and everything, I don't care about what you say. If I know I'm telling the truth and I know I'm doing right, you can say whatever you want. It doesn't even fade me because I have a new me. I was reborn, right? And I have a new me that I don't allow things like that to get to me. What I do is shut people off. That's the best thing to do, folks. You can't work with everybody. Everybody ain't your constituent. Everybody's not your confidant. Everybody's not your comrade. Everybody is not for you. They're for what you are for, but they're not for you. And once you decide and take that in consideration, that everybody ain't for you, they for what you are for, but they're not for you, you can exercise your thought process and your movements differently. See, I don't need a gang of people. I don't need an entourage. I feel safer by myself than I do with the crowd. Some people feel safer with a big crowd than being alone. I'm the opposite. And so when you've been through some things in life, listeners, and you know that God has saved you for something, lean to God's understanding, not man's. Lean to God's understanding, not man. Without further ado, I'm going to hand this microphone over to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yeah, the tendency I've observed, and I think I may have observed it elsewhere, but it's more observable within our group, is the laying in the bushes. You can do everything right and one thing wrong, and that one thing will cost you everything you have done. Because that nemesis of wanting to continue to minimize or to neutralize someone's anointment or their personal power is just so common. You know, I'm like you, Tim. It's like the best thing I could do is just keep my gratitude up front and just remember that whatever I'm going through right now, there was a time where I would have wished that I was going through what I'm going through now rather than be where I was then. And I have to reflect on that. So sometimes people who have these backgrounds of experiences, these life-threatening or lifestyle-threatening kind of histories can't have the advantage of being able to do that, saying, dude, come on, catch yourself. You can't let this bother you. Compare, because if this had been in your face back in the day and they said, which one would you prefer, what you got now or what's happening in the future, and I would take the future for 1,000, Alex, without a doubt. You know, I take that, whatever that go-through process is, rather than what I was going through. So we have that advantage, and a lot of people may not have that. So then they get caught up with this thing about the envy thing, man. It's like we talked to a youth last night, and we concluded that because he was in an area, and he's a nice-looking kid, clean-cut kid, had a brand-new car, somebody busts his window, didn't take anything. He said he had valuables in the car. Said the only thing they was his license plates, with I guess he had the sticker on the license plate, which the sticker has more value than the plate because the plate is traceable. The sticker is not. But he said that that's all they took. And my conclusion, fair conclusion, was that they've been watching him or they saw him and didn't like what they saw in his presentation because it created envy. And people, and there are two categories of theft. They're on the books. One is stealing to try to get and gather something for yourself or to sell or to use. And the other one is stealing merely to deprive the owner. And that's a lot of times what we're experiencing in our culture is we want to deprive the owner of their anointment and their accomplishment, or minimize them or neutralize them so that you can feel like you're in some kind of realm of comparison when there's no comparison. All you have to do is get into your spirit and your anointment and demonstrate rather than envy and hold it against somebody else for demonstrating theirs. So these are the kind of things that, you know, unfortunately exist, right? And we just got to keep on pressing on, talking about it, stirring it up, getting us to look at the true fact is that each one of us, no matter what we might be going through, no matter what we might think about somebody else, stop and look and think about yourself and what you have to offer. And you'll find that you won't have time to be enviable anybody else because you'll be bathing and basking in your own royalty.
Teach, teacher. Ooh, I'm eating all that up right there. I'm eating good this morning, y'all. I am eating good this morning. That right there, sir, is a word that I need. You know, sometimes you can go a whole day and not get a word that really fills your stomach and your soul. That right there, brother, has filled my stomach and my soul, man. I needed that right there because I know people look at me and say, hey, man, this brother got it going on. He on the radio, 97.5. He got his own radio show. He doing this. He doing that. He riding this. Man, I'm struggling. But I've struggled worse. And I know to keep God first in all that I do. And I don't look past my accomplishments. I don't look past me as a human being. I deal with these things daily. I deal with these things daily because to be a better you, you got to be in tune with you. I said to be a better you, You have to be in tune with you. And if you in tune with you, you ain't got time to be wasting on somebody else's delivery or any of that other stuff. Because Pawpaw told me like this. I'm going to make it plain right now. Pawpaw said, you got so much business of your own. If you take care of your own business, you're too busy to be in somebody else's business. That's what Pawpaw said. Pawpaw said, you got too much business to be in somebody else's business. So stay busy in your business, and you'll get things done. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. Double R, what you think about that, man? Was Pawpaw right?
Oh, hey, that part, man. Idle hands the devil workshop. You know what I'm saying? So if you stay focused on you with your goals and trying to accomplish yours, you won't be concerned about nobody else. But envy is the key in all races, but it hurts me the most in ours because we hardly ain't got shit. You feel me? So they'll be,
yes, sir,
damn, you got a new belt or you got a new watch or, you know, the cars, houses, whatever, RV, whatever. But it's like, get like me, man. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you build up your own? We all got that opportunity. Ain't nobody gave us nothing. We the hardest working people here. We had them Black Wall Streets, over 100 of them. We know what we can do. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? I like me, when I see a brother's stuff, I don't hate. I congratulate. I'd be like, either
yes,
I like it or I don't. You know what I'm saying? I'm a good, I ain't. You know what I'm saying? He helped me look at my picture. You feel me? Help me like becoming what my likes and my don't likes is. And you know what I'm saying? But don't hate, congratulate. That's all I can say. Brother, stop hating. Are you a Black?
Yeah, there it is. And you said a mouthful right there. Watch this, man. Even when I'm struggling, I get envied on. I'm not trying to make it a Timmy Pool DJ One Gone Show today, but I got to release sometimes. And sometimes I feel like this is the best place for me to release where others can hear the struggle. When they think and they see one way, you don't know what's going on in my square. You don't know what I go through. And I don't know what you go through until you tell me, right? But see, when somebody tell me what they going through, my first thing to do is see how I can be of assistance, not a hindrance. I don't use that as a weakness. You done told me something, now I'm going to use that against you. You see what I'm saying? And that's where a lot of us, Black folks, we go wrong like that. We use what we heard or what we've learned about a person, and we instead of saying, you know what, this is where your area you're struggling in, how can I assist you to better that? How can I encourage you to better that? How can I inspire you to better that? How can I be uplifting to you to better that? No, we're going to go tell Sharonda. We're going to go tell little Leroy. We're going to go tell Uncle Charles. We're even going to tell Big Mama about what you just told me. And they ain't got nothing to help you get through that thing. And they're going to go tell some more people. And it's called gossiping. And ain't nothing coming out of it. You're not building. You're not helping. You're not assisting. And that's where we got to change. That's where we have to bring a different thought process. We got to do better because we really know better. But we'd rather see our brother suffer than to say, well, hey, man, I got a hand for you. Let me lend you this hand, right? Let me lend you this hand. Now, I can understand that people bite the hand that feed them. Oh, it happens all the time in the Black community. The hand that feeds is the hand that get bit, right? And I know you're tired of getting bit. I know your nubs is nublets right now because you done helped so much, you done put a hand out so much that people done bit you. The same person you helped has turned their back on you, right? That make you want to say, well, I'm not helping nobody else, but that ain't a godly way. That ain't a godly way, you know, because I done said it plenty of times. Man, I'm not helping no more. I ain't loaning no more money. Now, money, I used to loan money. I ain't loaning nothing. My mama would tell you, she'd say, son, what happened to the good times? I said, what you mean? Well, you used to send mama with some money every month. What happened to them times? I said, well, mama, I'll send it to you when I got it, right? And she appreciate when I do send it, right? But there's people in your life, man, they just want to drain the greatness out of you. They want to drain the understanding out of you. Ooh, wait. Did I say to drain the understanding? Because a lot of people ain't got understanding. A lot of people ain't got understanding. So if they drain that from you, man, you might as well be a vegetable until you get some more understanding. Yes, sir. And so you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone. So I said I wasn't going to make it about me, but I got to let y'all know, man, be an assistant to your brothers and sisters, not a hindrance, right? If you can help, help. Don't just say you can help and don't help. Or don't even come up with a solution to this situation. Or even try to, right? I know, like I said, people done bit you a lot of times and when you went to help and everything. But that don't stop you from being you. That's why I still do what I do. But I'm very cautious of who I deal with. I'm very cautious. I'd rather meet you out there and help you out there than to bring you in mind and let you eyeball everything and then get a decision in your head that, I'm going to lay down and let him do all the work. Because it's happening. It's happening. It's happening in my life today, right? I see a lot of things going on, man. I done helped build brothers up, and they ain't never came and gave a thank you. They ain't never came and said, well, man, I appreciate you, man. How can I assist you now, right? I've never, it's very few. I can say there's a few of them that's out there. I got one, my dear friend, Marvell Wilson, is one of them. I can speak and really, truly say, if I say Marvell whoop de bop de beep bing, Marvell going to say whoop de bop de boop bing bing, and we're going to keep moving. And so it ain't too many. That's why I said there's constituents, there's comrades, and there is confidants. And you're not going to get a whole bunch of confidants. Them the ones that'll tell you, like Marvell tell me, you're wrong. This is, and he ain't scared to get in my face and tell me how to correct being wrong. That's a real confidant and a friend. He's not going to be a yeser man. He's not going to tell you something that's false and make it look like it's true. That's a confidant. A constituent, he's going to be with you because you two are trying to go for something, and he's not with you, but he's going with you to go to whatever y'all trying to get at. And then your comrade don't even care about you. He care about the problem that you're trying to solve. He care about that. Y'all got the same interest in that problem over there. And we ain't partners, but we going to go attack this problem. So we got to know who we dealing with on a daily. We need to know who is who so they don't get in our way, because God will send you anybody to come your way. He'll send a drunk to come your way to give you a word. But that's all that's there, a word. Take the word, let them go. With that, I pass the mic. I see another caller that called in at the 831. Go on and introduce yourself. Is that Mr. That is Mama Chocolate Cousin. Go ahead on and speak, brother.
Yeah, top of the morning, top of the rising, everybody. Your God is good, and his mercy endures forever. If there's a problem, I know he can solve it. And I know if we are giving those problems to him, then we ain't got to worry about the outcome. You know, I don't give expecting something in return. I give from the heart. You know, just like God gave us his mercy this morning. You know, all he wants in return is to show some love and some appreciation and some self-respect and some dignity. Keep the stride dignified, y'all. Keep it dignified in everything that you do. You know, if you give something, don't expect nothing in return. You know, give it from the heart and let it do what it's going to do, because God knows your heart. You know what I mean? He know your heart. I'm just tapping there. I say.
We got another one. Larry, go ahead on. Larry Jones.
Hey, how you doing? I'm just coming on, so I'm not hearing the topic, so I'm going to step back for a minute.
Sound good. Brother Marvell, it is on you, Brother Marvell. I will be manning the phone line. It is a blessed day right here on the Wise Words and One Gone Show. It's Wise Words Wednesday. And you know what? This is the midweek praise. So any song that I'll be playing today is going to be from the Most High. With that being said, Marvell.
So, the part that I think comes with observation, I guess you can get it. I guess you can get it through your experience or what you've observed, or just do the deductions, right? When you talk about the confidants, you should know who that is, because, you know, that's a rarity, but it's still something that you feel and you've tested. See here, okay, let me say this, because the bottom line to me is there's a discernment necessary to be practiced when you deal with people, especially when you're moving in calls together, right? It seems like the constituents are the ones that we're going to be most closely aligned with right now, because our people have the charge to start working together for a commonality, a common goal. So that constituency is prevalent right now and building right now, and keeping it where it is. Because once we get reparations, or once we get ourselves established, then we'll find out the wheat will be separated from the chaff. Then about how close they, how much they appreciate you as a person, or how much they really like you as a person, or how much gravity it is for your personality and a relationship. But when that only comes after we've accomplished our mission. So there's not a bad thing in constituency. It's just something to be aware of, that it's a likelihood that once we complete our task, that everybody's gonna go their separate way, and they'll wave at you, say, you know, might just you know, be casual with you. And it's important to recognize that season is over. So that's the discernment process for constituency that I see. And then the confidant, that is something personal that the Spirit of God will reveal through trial and error, because a lot of times I do screening, you know, I put a little feeler. People say you shouldn't do that, and I say no. I got to do what I got to do. I got to see what I can really rely upon somebody for. I have to know what their limit is, so that I won't embarrass them by asking them to do something that they have no willingness to do, and then I'm disappointed and they're embarrassed. Well, oh man, no, I ain't no man. No, I don't do that. And I'm saying, okay, well, I needed to know that up front. You know, I need to know. So there are little things that I do to screen to know just what capacity our relationship is going to get to, and that's a good. But man, look, we right now, we're in the constituency level, and it's a beautiful thing that we're looking at toward the hills together, right? And if we start that climb together, if somebody stumble, we're compelled to reach back and pull them up to stride. Until we get to our zenith, till we get to our goal. So that's a good place to be. And then a lot of times I've noticed that when people work together toward a common goal, good, solid relationships do develop because you guys went through together. And you got a chance to see the character. You got a chance to see the strengths and the weaknesses and learn to live with them both. And learn to appreciate the person for their willingness to stay the course and make it happen. So we're on the right track right now. You can see the level, and we're going to build something from this, and we're going to accomplish what we came to get done as a people, and then we're going to do that assessment about the confidant later on. But right now, we're where we're supposed to be, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I'll yield for any comments or responses.
Hello?
We're here. I got Reb on here. I got Uncle Joe on here. Y'all go ahead on and say something to the world.
Blessings to the world.
That's all we love. There's not a time
Rev,
that
you kind of broke up a little bit, Rev. You sound kind of like underwater or something.
Switched over to boost. I'm even getting a boost under from underwater.
Yeah, you're choppy, Rev.
You sound pretty
choppy, Rev.
Let me see if I can get out the car. This Boost Mobile just really is not the one. Everybody on here
don't
need
no
Boost.
Better. We can hear you better. We can hear you better.
That's good. That's good now, Rev.
Well, I agree, Mr.
Now you went back to it. You went back to the garble.
Go back over to this thing. I got a stand, of course.
Okay, Rev, holler back when you feel better about it, man, because it's pretty bad.
He
plus,
fell
I'm
off right there.
Echo.
He fell off just now. And so we'll get Rev back on, but I see Uncle Joe's on here. Uncle Joe.
Yeah, how you guys doing today? Everything's all right? I'm sorry I missed the comment yesterday, but I did hear. We can't worry about individuals like that. And to respond to you, Marvel, give me a couple of minutes, and I will respond to you. Thank you.
Right on.
So you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and I told you today in the process of getting this information out, we're going to lift the Most High through music. I'm not going to play too much because I know we have a lot to talk about. I just want to say, like, what we seen last night with our young folks, they want the opportunity, right? They want the opportunity. And the reason I say that is because last week we had a young man who has a speech impediment, right, where he has broken a language, right, and so it was his first time into the healing circle, and we had a thing where Marvell was handing out Black History cards, and the kids was reading from the card, and this young man got up, he texted his mom and said, I don't want to read in front of everybody, and so I guess she didn't see that text, and so he got up out of his seat, walked to his mom and whispered in her ear that I don't want to read. So his mom spoke for him instead of him speaking for himself, saying I want to read because I have a speech impediment. She said, well, my son don't want to read, and I've kind of figured that was what it was, right? But let me show you how when you're working with youth and when you're working with your people and you really give of yourself, how things change. So he came in last night, and Marvell said, okay, who wants to be up? No, first he made an introduction. He said, who wants the volunteer to read some of these cards? Who wants to? And, you know, make sure you want to do this. And so before he got up, he made that speech, and he went around, and so the kids raised their hand. He went to handing cards out, and he got to that young man, and he did a smooth move on him. He seen he had him captivated some type of way to where he said, okay, look, if I call out what that card is, because he know a little magic, the Marvell bad, the marvelous Marvell. So he pulled out the cards, and he put them in front of the young man, and the young man pulled the card out of the 52 in the deck. And so Marvell said, don't show nobody, don't show me. He said, but I want you to show the guy next to you that Queen of Diamond. And so he looked at the Queen of Diamond, and everybody's like, oh, got it. So now the young man has to get a card because he lost. Instead of saying, oh, no, I don't want to do this. Pass me by. He bit into the trust of Marvell in the conversation that he had and the way he conveyed it to him to make him join in. And so when the young man read, he did a wonderful job. He got it. Marvell got him out of himself into this crowd of young folks to be a part of what was going on, man. And it was so beautiful how change was made in one session. In one session, right? And when the youth don't even want to be there at first. Now, I asked him last night, I said, are you glad that you're coming here? He said, yeah, because I don't have too many friends, and I see I can make a friend in here. Now, that was big for me. That was big for me, right? Because he's been now brung into the fold, nurtured by a man understanding to present this situation of being a part of this program can help you, and he's seen the light. And so, Marvell, I must give you your props right now on how you handled that. And I know Brother Joe and Mark the Disciple, y'all seen how that magic worked last night. Even Brother Larry, I know y'all seen how that worked. And then where Brother Larry's grandson came back, we was talking about some of the things and attitude he had, breaking the TV, cussing his grandpa out, just a whole bunch of stuff. And so I didn't want him to think I was attacking him, so I added another young brother that I know has understanding of what I'm trying to do and how I'm trying to bring this to the table so we can get it off our chest. Because if we keep this bottled up or on our chest, we react differently. We react differently. We'll tear up a TV. We'll tear up whatever, right, if we don't get it out. And so I know you all seen that part, because normally AJ ain't going to get up. He ain't going to speak out like that, but we made him comfortable in the room to be around. It was, I don't know how many young folks was in there, but he was comfortable enough to say, okay, you know what? Normally he'd get up there and he'd twiddle and fiddle and diddle. But he got up there and he spoke his piece. And I know that he needs us. He needs his big uncles. He needs the men in this community to step up and step out to help him, to grab him before the streets grab him. And so I just want to tell you, brothers, last night, we didn't have time to get everybody on the mic and let everybody talk and take up all the time. It ain't y'all's healing circle. That's tonight for the men. If you want to do a lot of talking, that's where you can talk at. Really want to focus on our young folks, building leaders and putting them in front of everybody. Now, if you can speak to what they're talking about, it's all good. But I've seen too for too long that people get up there and hold up 45 minutes. And it's the youth healing circle. So we changing, revamping that. Let them youth speak their peace. And we seen last night that they got a lot of peace to speak. I'm going to pass this mic.
Let me add on the end to how the Spirit of God works. Okay. So the youth that and to be honest with you, Tim, I didn't know that was his concern. He didn't seem to have an impediment to me. So at the end, when we all were in the parking lot, we all getting in our cars, getting ready, because I had to rush back because, you know, I had something pending that I had to get to. And I'm driving in the parking lot, and I happen to see him and his mother, and I rolled my window down, and I said, man, I said, that was an excellent presentation. I said, now you know. Keep stepping up. And his mama looked at him, and she looked at her, and I saw that glow, right, that glow between them, that she's seeing where he should be, and he's recognizing where he should be. And that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. See, when we start getting into, well, see, because we're feeling people, at least that's my observation, we feel deeply, right? And so if we get into the practice of feeling that spirit of giving, of nurturing, of encouraging, of inspiring, and get that feeling instead of the feel the energy of envy, anger, resentment, bitterness, if we can replace those feelings, because they're all energies, right? Our energy revolves around that stimuli. Somebody say something about somebody, if you fight, if you see a fight, instead of you going, if you're going to go over there to it, if you ain't going over to break it up, you need to be going away from it. But that's, that energy is attractive. You're going to get around that energy.
people call it negative energy. I don't know if I want to call it just negative energy. It's a negative situation that triggers the energy that's in me, right? And so when we start practicing feeling that energy of giving and sharing and expressing care and expressing the willingness to assist, when that energy starts getting commonplace in your experience, that's why I think Tim could keep pushing on. Tim Pool is probably the most diverse, gifted giver for the community that I've ever seen, right? And he's always appearingly, you might even, he say he struggle, but he doesn't appear to be, and that's, I think that's the misinterpretation, is that he's always got a smile on his face, he always got a willingness to interact, he always responds to questions and responds to requests, and he does his best to meet, because he has gotten used to that spirit of feeling and that good energy. That's my interpretation, that good energy of knowing that when you give and when you participate in someone's growth, that there's a plus factor, there's a stimuli there. There's a goodness that's undeniable, and the Spirit of God becomes easier and easier for you to access. You become more of a conduit. You have a better connection when you practice this. The Spirit of God surges through you a lot easier. So that's what we're proposing to our listening body, is start doing. You know, in my College Anonymous, you know what they advise us to do? They used to say, do something for somebody and don't tell nobody. See what happens. Just do something for somebody, and they ain't got to know you did it. Only person to know who did it is you, and the only other energy that knows who did it is God. Do that. And I started doing that, and I found that it was so warming to me. It's such a inspiring sort of feeling to know that you did something, and you see the result of it, and they're looking around saying, hey, who did this? And you keep your mouth shut. And get used to that. That's, I think that's one of the main things that we could get used to doing, is just feeling the spirit of giving and caring and sharing and inspiring and getting used to that feeling, because it's a wonderful feeling, y'all. And I'll yield.
Ashe. The phone line is open. If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gun Show. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. It is 47 after the hour. And, man, this young man sent in his song. You know, I have to play one song maybe out of the gospel. Nah, I'm going to stay in the gospel realm, right? Because that's what I feel today. I feel the Spirit is amongst us. And every now and then, I just get that feeling where I have to do something like this.
Then here come my blessings. Ain't no need for stressing in my life. My enemies, they might form weapons, yeah. But I know I'm protected by the blood, protected by the love of God. Grace and mercy, all his favor, take me higher, just like that graver. And every time I turn on, you know.
Corinne Hawthorne, look at God. Look at God. Oh, my goodness. The next one will be The Winans, It's Time, right after we run a few of these commercials. Matter of fact, you know, I'm going to run one, and then I'm going to get back to the conversation, and then we'll play that in about 20 minutes because this discussion is good. We'll go to a commercial right now.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention, sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
That's right. You may have a spoken word piece that's in the closet or on your heart and you've never let the world hear it. You can send it to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com and I will put that thing on because we're uplifting our people to be the best they can be right here on the Wise Words of One Gone Show. I'm going to open the phone lines right quick. Man, God is good all the time and all the time God is good. Allow him to lead you to better days, and better days is just doing his will, right? And so I want to be in the will of God so he can make a way for me to make a way for others through the struggles or the successes that I have been through, right? And so here we are, opening the phone line. We're back live with our host, with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. And hold on. Yeah, so Joe said that he was going. He deferred to respond to the question, but I want to give a full, clear overview of what we started talking about, and it started with T.D. Jakes describing the three different categories of experience we have as people on the move, right? People on the move. See, people, we can just be people generally, but when we have a motive and we have a cause, we're people collectively in movement. And what he described was the confidant is the person that you have in your circle that no matter what you go through, they're going to go through it with you. They can detect. That's why, I don't like to text people asking them how they're doing. I like to hear their voice, so I like to be in their face. Because I don't have people tell me, yeah, I'm all right. And I said, man, cut it out. Stop it. You ain't all right. I can see it. And so those confidence have that ability to detect those things and to bring support and encouragement, or whatever it is that you as an individual may need at the time, your confidant will deliver that to the best of their ability. Then he talked about the constituency, which is where we are as a people right now, I think, is that we're at a stage where we're all moving toward a cause that we can see collectively, right? We see where we want to get, so we know that it's important for us, or at least I hope that we know, that it's important for us to keep our focus on that goal and keep moving together and keep the line straight, right? Keep the ranks straight so that we have the better opportunity to achieve what we're attempting to achieve. Then he described what he called a comrade, which is, and let me say this. He said four, and he said four, and then he said four. The first four is the confidant who is, he said, is for you. Then the second one, the constituent, is for the cause, right? And then the third one, the comrade, is for the opposition to something that everybody disagrees with, right? So you have a comrade fighting a battle with you, not for you and not for the cause, but because they don't like what it is that exists, and they need somebody to help them fight it. So those are the three categories, Joe, that we were talking about. And I guess I pose, what are you in our constituency stage right now as black people in this country? I guess I ask, how do we discern, and how do we handle being in league with somebody, and then when the goal is reached, you might not have a relationship with them as tight as you used to have. You know, y'all go y'all separate ways once the goal is reached, right? So that's kind of like what was in the air, Joe, when you came in.
Okay. To try to respond to that, that's a big philosophical concept. God, let's be clear here. There are no associations other than what we have with our spiritual, the Most High, as one gone would call it. Without that as a backdrop to us individually who are attempting to move forward, we're naked. So the associations that we make along the way are just that, associations. They're not individuals that are 100% wholeheartedly after the goal that we may be after. So I use God. That's what I use daily, every day, as my confidant, number one, my go-to, number two, my all, number three. May sound strange coming from a man such as myself, but no. I have learned, I think I've learned that you can't put your eggs in the basket without making sure that the basket doesn't have any hold in it. So that's caution. And with that, once again, the Bible says that for any warrior or any human being stepping forward, gird your loins with the armor of God. If when you do that, you have a much smoother delivery, a much smoother path. But again, it's God, and I don't know how else to say it. But God is the one that lights the path that I walk, and as long as He allows me the ability to see, yes, I have associates, and yes, I have friends. But I depend on God to help. So I may be a little bit different than some others, but I let God guide me. Thank you.
Ashe, we have some callers in the queue. And so I see a caller from the 408. Go ahead and say hello to the panel and the rest of the world.
Hey, how are you all doing today? Good to see you. I've been listening here for a minute, and good stuff, you know, when you open up your heart to the world because you're on stage, you know, you're definitely going to have some reflecting going on from what you were projecting. So God bless you. Yeah, my name is Craig. How you doing?
All right, Way Busy. Hey, we see you. We hear you. We hear you, Way Busy. Miss Clarice in the building.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right.
I don't know what you all are talking about, but I'll find out.
Okay, Marvell's going to give you a briefing of that. And then, Reb, I'm hoping that your phone is better so we can hear you, Reb. And then, Reb, I want to let you know that I need to purchase a CD from you. I tried to get it from Marvell to download so I can put on the show. And I listened to the song that the brothers like. And so I would like to purchase a CD from you, Reb, if you're still there. Reb, are you there?
You can hear me on this mobile phone.
Yeah, you've been
still gone.
Yeah, Boost Mobile, you better go back to what you was on, brother, because that you choppy. And I hate to say that you choppy. Come up out of that car, come up out that building, come out of somewhere, because you choppy. I'm going to go one more time to you, Reb. Boom, Reb, you there.
Terrible.
Can you hear me?
No good, Rev. No good. No good.
Jesus.
Not good.
Right.
I can hear you, Rev. Not
now?
Good.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's better. It's better. I just hear the cars, but you go ahead and say what you're saying.
Okay.
And then I want to purchase one of them CDs. So if you come to the Men's Healing Circle tonight, I will have my money.
I may not. If you give me an email, I'll text you. Just email me. Email you the song. My response to
Rev, it's not good, man. We're not hearing you clearly, Rev.
It's like I gotta stand on this one crack. This is great. I hate like this. But no, I mean on the form of what Marvell was speaking on, if I got it,
Rev, it's no good, man.
This is not good at all.
No good.
All right. I'll call back another time, gentlemen.
Yeah, man. Strangely enough, he sounded better on the end than it's in the
Right. So just now he sounded good, but then when you go to listening, he cracks in. But, Rev, we love you. I'll be emailing you. I need them songs so I can play your song on here. Hey, you know what? It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and I want Brother Marvell to go back over for Miss Clarice and other listeners that just tapped in. I would like for him to talk about what we're talking about. Matter of fact, if y'all would want, I could play that piece by T.D. Jakes if Marvell wants me to. Marvell?
Excuse me. It would be your call if you want to go. You know, the fullness is just that we have a lot of people so far that could pour in on what was shared from the beginning, and then we could just proceed from there. I could just reiterate what the gatherings were from what he was saying and keep it short, right?
Sounds
because,
good.
Clarice there, T.D. Jakes was talking about the three categories of people that one might experience when you're in a movement of some sort, when you have a commonality and you're moving together. There are three categories, and the one that's least experienced but most wanted is what he called a confidant, and that is someone that is for you, and they demonstrate that in all they do. They demonstrate, and they feel what you feel. They recognize when you need to be pulled up. They recognize when you need to be encouraged, and they're there for you in that movement. And that movement is toward, you know, the love, the God. To me, what I interpret is the love of God that flows through from one person to another and to as many who fall into that realm of being close like that. That's the confidant. And then he talked about the constituency. The constituency means that the people that are around you are for what you are for, your cause, and you have a commonality of cause, and you might work with people, and you might have a success in reaching the goal in the cause, yet after that cause has been reached, you might not, that season might be over, and you don't have any kind of closeness or familiarity with them for one reason or another. Then he talked about the camaraderie, which is, he describes it as being that they're not for you, they're not for your cause, but they're against whatever they're against with you. So those are the three categories that he describes, and the suggestion is that we be able to discern one from the other, so that we don't allow ourselves to get emotionally attached with a constituent, too much information to them, because he said this, and this is something that's common too. In your constituency, you have to be careful how much personal information or how much vision of where you're attempting to get that you share with a constituent, because the constituent will take what you have and go launch it somewhere else, right? because they're not attached to you. They're only attached to anything that they can get while they're around you. So those are the three categories that we talked about, and we were just exploring what would be the best way to practice that discernment, to know where the confidant is, where the constituent is, and then where the comrade is, and keep them in their proper category. That's the basis for the discussion so far. Did you get that, Clary?
I most certainly did. Yes.
So that's the basis. Of, we've been piggybacking off of that, and you know, and talking about personal experiences that define what we do when we run into these experiences. And I say that right now, our black people are in a constituency stage. And I say it's not a bad thing. I say it's a good thing. And then we'll see, you know, when the smoke clears and we will reach our goal, we'll see how many close relationships are forged through the experience of getting there. And if not, we just recognize, just like everybody else recognized, that some people come in your life for a season, right? And for that reason. So that's where we are right now, Clarice. I'd like you to express anything that you might feel as a result or experience that you might have that helps identify how to, you know, how to navigate through those three categories.
Yes, and discernment is a very key element there. There's a lot of different terms that I've been drilled on that about, say, like in friendship. You have friendship. You have an associate, you know, you have confidant, you can have a job and you can be the boss and you have people that will respect you because of your position. And then they'll just do what they have to do to keep their job. And then you can build another level of a relationship to where that person respects you, not only because you have a job, because they respect who you are. So that person goes above and beyond of just doing to the letter what their job is. And then there's that person, yeah, they'll get you in any opportunity they can. And I've experienced that in so many different ways, from being a level one person in accounting, overnight being told, come here, be a two person, having other crowds upset at you, going from a two to being the supervisor, having people upset at you, going from that to being the manager, having people all out after you. And I'm telling you, when you live through something like that, you learn to distinguish those kind of people. For me, I have a problem with exit with people. I have a problem with attachment. And even though I know they're there for a season, I have to keep setting boundaries because I get attached very easily and I'm very sensitive. Overly sensitive. You know, you mean you cry, I cry. You look like you cry, I cry. But that's just how I am, and I've learned how to deal with it. And I learned that when I'm healing, I don't talk. I don't say anything because chances are you're going to say the wrong thing. All of your energy should be towards healing. So, one, you need to have experience, a learning to identify these things. That's the main thing, is having experience. And as someone says, love people and trust God. He never told us to trust people. He said to love people and then trust God and know the difference between the two. Very good subject. And I'm looking forward to catching from different other people and then just observe their behavior pattern. I'm very cautious about getting into anything now. If you're not already in with me, we haven't already had a relationship, I mean, you got to go through some hoops because I'm not taking on new things anymore. Just looking at what do I have, cleaning my own house, moving up, getting rid of some things because I need to go to another level now. And I know how to go to that other level by going down,
You don't go to a level going up. You go down. You go down on your knees. You go back to your basics. And you get a grip. And then you strap on. And then you get taken to the next level. There's going to be a jerk. There's going to be rough edges. But again, that's where you have to go.
Ashe, I love it, I love it. So Uncle Joe asked me to play a song, and you know, right now I'm in the spirit, and I feel the spirit on this show. And so, Miss Clarice, I felt what you said. That helped me, if it didn't help anyone else, because I feel what you said wholeheartedly. Here's the Winans. It's time. Uncle Joe said, play this for the people, man. So, yeah.
Yo, what's up? I'ma give you the wine, y'all know. Yo, Slim, can I take it right here? Here we go. Well, it's time to make that change. People of the world today are fading. All of us have our ups and downs. You better think about it or you won't be around. What we need is a little bit of love, sent by one from heaven up above. Take it from me, it's simple and plain. This ain't no game, you know what I'm saying. What? Take it from me one time.
What is the world coming to? Seems like everyone is running from the truth.
Yep, yep.
We got stand up and fight, walk into the light. We're the people, we can do it if we try.
Here we go.
About that time. Time to make the change.
you, Uncle Joe. Man, that right there, I was over here hop, skipping, and jumping. Yes, Dad, me. Hey, I'm going back to the host with the most. Man, I'm filled with joy right now. You can hear it in my voice, man. I'm smiling, laughing, and giggling at the same time. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. It's Wise Words Wednesday, and here's your host, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Listen, I'm going to tell y'all something.
Hello?
My wife is a... Hold on. Let me see. Yeah, can you hear me? Can I be heard? Somebody say yes or no.
Yeah, 10-4, 10-4.
Right on. Listen, man, my wife is a songwriter and a vocalist. And she wrote a song called It's Time. And it goes like this. It's time for me to stand up. It's time to take a stand. I am here beside you, reaching out my hand. I'm here. I'm in. Listen, show me where to begin. It's time. That's a piece that she wrote. Time to step up and roll up my sleeves and show that I got the guts to say what I believe. I can do something about what I see. It's time, it's time, it's on me. Time to let the world know that I'm here, standing tall, showing no fear. Time to take it all and claim it as mine. It's on me, it's time, it's time. My wife wrote that. How apropos. We're talking about what time it is. And so when we talk about what time it is, we also have to talk about it's time to shake off those, what they call in one fellowship, they call them bugaboos. Shake off the bugaboos and those little things, the little, like those little things that attach to you. And if you don't get them, like barnacles on a ship, if you don't get rid of them, then they will pull the ship down, right? So we have to do an individual inventory and shake off all those little bugaboos that stop us from seeing how to reach the goal of standing in the gap for what time it is. It is time, folks. It's time. So I appreciate that. And we are the people. That's what they kept saying. We are the people. So understand that distinction. There are other people who have power, influence, and control things. But they didn't say that they are the people. They said we are the people. We are the people that can make the change and make things different and better. Let's get together and let's work it out. I hope you can see it coming, and I hope that the vision is getting clearer and clearer to you on a daily basis so that when it's come time for you to do your part, you won't hesitate, and you'll know what it is. Because the Spirit of God will tell you. And I yield.
Ashe. Now, I haven't heard from Mark the Disciple today. I want to take a moment and give him a call. So I won't be on the line. I want to make sure my brother
Mark
is all right.
Mark
is
in school. Because... He's in class.
Oh, he's in school?
Yeah, he's in class right now. He can't make it.
Bless his heart.
Let me respond to the reason I asked for that particular one. Gone up as soon as that needle hit that plastic, man, I was up myself, damn near marching, because through our music has given us the inspiration and the foresight to move forward. Now, in past, our music gave us messages. It helped soothe us. It helped educate us through our music. But music, obviously, in the last 20 years has changed so drastically that the type of music that's on is not uplifting. This particular song, as anyone who ever hears this song, you've got to move. And so what are we saying? And what did I say earlier? With the armor of God, girding the loins, which gives discernment so that you can, Marvell, spot these individuals. When you're in the world and in worldly life, you have worldly eyes. Therefore, you see worldly things, and you don't have the drawback a person does not have the drawback to say, no, I better not do that. We get caught up. But with the armor of God on you, he always gives you signals and signs of who and who not to be around. Now, it's up to the individual to either listen or not listen. You can hear it in my voice. Juan goes, I'm up again. I'm fired up because I know we the people that can do this. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, yeah. Okay, so listen. Speaking of music, I'm standing in the stead of Tim Pool tomorrow at the Black Caucus at the Roberts Center on it's in the north. It's on, what is the name of that street? Roberts Center. And they're sponsoring. It's a fundraiser for students to go to college, and it's a presentation about music. And so tomorrow I'll be doing a presentation about music, Joe, and it's precisely what you just got through saying. That's the way I'm going to approach it, is that it's a messaging system, right? And so it goes from 11:30 to 2:30, and it's a fundraiser. I think everybody's welcome to come and participate. It's not a thing like you got to come. If you come, you got to donate, even though it would be nice. But Robert Center, where's the name of that daggummit?
Are you talking about the Robinson Center on Norwood? Norwood,
yeah, that's it, on Norwood. Right, that's where it is tomorrow. And it's sponsored by the Black Caucus, and it's a drive to raise money to send our youth to college. And the theme is music. And Tim was going to do it, but Tim has an engagement that he's compelled to attend. It's a service for his favorite uncle, and he asked me to do the presentation, which I'm honored to do, and I'm prepared to do. And I think Tim thought it was like 5 minutes. They said, no, we want you to do about 20 minutes to a half hour. And I said, I might get to 20 on this, but, you know, because we were going to bring the young lady. I don't know if you guys ever heard her. We played her about 6 weeks ago, a little young lady, a 10-year-old by the name of Boss Tootie. We played her stuff. Her stuff is banging. And we were going to bring her in, culminate the presentation and say where we want our music to go, right? That would have been a good ending to say where it is now. It's not a bad thing, but it's a better thing to have more content in our music going forward, without all of the cussing, with all of the not the denouncing, with all the envy and comparison, with all the gloating and all that stuff, right? So we're gonna bring her. Just come to find out, too bad she was falling off in her math, and her dad said nope, she got to go to school. And she got to take, that's her math class, and she got to tighten that up. So unfortunately, we weren't able to get her to put the final touch on it. But it will be tomorrow. I think it's 11:30 to 2:30 at that location. And then I also want to announce tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow at the King Skating Rink in Elk Grove. Now, I'm going to get this straight. I ask this again, but I want to make sure I get this straight. So I'm going to be able to go there at, I think it's from 6 o'clock to 8:30 or something like that. If I get there, when I get there, I'll get for free. And then I can eat for free. And all I have to do is show up. That's what I'm told. Now, I want to get clarity on that. If Tim, you on the line, I want you to clarify that. Is that what's happening tomorrow?
Yes, sir. It is family skate night. And the reason we do that, for the last 15 years, we've been doing family skate night. And the reason being that our youth used to say, I can't go over there. I can't go over there. I'm from Oak Park. I can't go to the Heights. I'm from the Heights. I can't go to Meadowview. I'm from Meadowview. I can't go to Valley High. So what we seen was that these youth need to see families come together. And so we have family skate night because you're having fun with people that you say you couldn't go have fun with. And it turned out that, man, we never had the police there. We had one altercation in them 15 years, one altercation, and it wasn't a fight. It was kids from different neighborhoods sizing each other up. And I believe Larry and Coach Thurman was there on that night, right? And so once I got there, I wasn't even there. I was DJing something, and I came late. I was at the Sierra Health Foundation. That's what it was. And I got there, and the brothers were saying, hey, man, we got a little friction in here. So once I popped on the scene, both sides know me, and they know I don't play that stuff, and they know why we're here. And so I made them make a video. That's right. I pulled them to the side and asked them what me and Marvell asked our young folks at the schools. Why do you think we're here? Why do you think we're here at this skating ring? Tell me. And so I put them on video so they can tell their story. So now we're going to have an agreement that we're not going to go through this again. We're not going to, because he's from over there, you're going to size him up and try to have some kind of conflict when you don't even know that man. And so it was a time for us to teach and reach at the same time. Reach our young folks and teach them. That's why we do Family Skate Night. It's free for everyone. There's no excuse why you're not there, why you're not bringing someone there, why you're not coming and to be a part of the neighborhood skate, because it's not a community skate. It's a neighborhood skate, and it's all neighborhoods in Sacramento. That is why we do this.
I just wanted to get it straight. All we got to do is show up. Everything else is provided for us.
Yes, sir. Free entry,
man,
free skates, and a free meal.
Man, cut it out. Now, that's love.
Yes,
come on, y'all. That's love, y'all. Come on now.
Don't forget about
Let's fill this spot up tomorrow.
Brother.
Say again.
I said, don't forget about you. Also, get a free conversation, good conversation with the brothers.
That's right.
Oh, ain't no doubt, because
right.
You know, I don't skate. I don't skate. I tried a couple times, and I didn't like how I felt, you know, with not being in total control like that, because, you know, something about it. Like skating and bowling, I ain't no good at, so I've never really gotten too heavy in it. But I will show up. Hey, I show up, they, like this old saying, I show up for the food and, you know, and I stay for the conversation.
Hey, so watch this. For others that do not skate, I skate every now and then, right? But for those that don't skate, it's family game night as well, right? So we bring in four or five chess boards. We bring in the Monopoly. We bring in the Sorry. We bring in the Trouble. We bring in some cards. And y'all can play dominoes and just conversate. See, the kids need to see us fellowship like that and having fun.
Mm.
And that's what's missing. We're not doing these easy, simple, basic things for our kids to see. They see mama don't mess with Miss Sally, and mama and Miss Sally ain't even got a beef, but they don't see eye to eye for some reason. And so our kids need to see us doing something. That's why it's not kid skate night. It's family skate night, where Big Mama can come out there. Big Mama might not even skate, but she can give some game to a young lady that's in there that might need that, right? And that's the time where the conversation piece comes into play, you know. And so I ask that you all come out and be a part of it. Now, tomorrow going to be so packed, I'm going to need all the brothers. I'm going to have to go to the men's healing circle tonight and ask brothers, you know, you say you want to be around the youth, you want to be a part of something, there's a good opportunity you be here, because there's going to be some people there. There's going to be heck of people there, right? And I suggest that you come and be a part of this and state your claim, you know. And what I was telling folks last night, that room that we was in, we had, I think, maybe one less adult than we had kids in the youth healing circle. And so what's going to start happening on that is that we're going to have to form more healing circle. And I'm going to sit down tonight with some of the brothers and see who's ready to really step up and find a place to go sit down with some youth. And they ain't hard to find. All these schools around here, all these moms that are suffering by raising these kids by themselves, man. I don't want to put Marvell on the spot, right? But I had a call from my mama, and she said, "Oh, Mr. Tim, you ain't working with at the Rose family no more." I said, "No, I don't even got a job right now. I'm just freelancing." I said, "But what's going on?" She said, "Well, they told me to call you because I'm having problems with my two boys." I said, "Well, you know what? I got a full load right now, and I don't want to turn anybody down. And I've worked with your boys before, and they was doing pretty good until you stopped bringing them. And so now you need the assistance again. I'm going to turn you on to a couple of people." And when I called out to Marvell, I said, "Well, here's some youth I want to implement to the BBOA, because they are new and they got a good cause and they are trying to reach the youth." And so here goes two young men you ain't got to go far to look for. They right there off the Meadowview, right down the street from Mack Road, right? Straight, if you go straight, you're on Mack Road. But I wanted to give them a chance to meet some other brothers that's doing this work, you know, to change their lives. And so I hooked up Marvell. Marvell went over there, and he pulled the young man, and he brung him to a couple of events. And I looked. I said, "Well, okay, it's going down, right? It's enough room out here and enough work out here that we ain't got to work on top of each other. You don't got to show up to what I'm doing all the time. It's time for you to go get something and start it off, because this one room is not the whole town. This whole town ain't the whole state. This whole state ain't the whole country. And so we have to start moving and getting to where the need is. And we can't just show up one time for the need. We have to be consistent, right? A lot of times kids don't even show up to some of the things I do. I had skating where only 10 people showed up, but the door was open. And I was consistent of opening the door. Whether 100 people came in or 2 people came in, those that came needed a word, and we was able to give them the word, right? And so we can't look at numbers trying to make data work for us when all we need to do is just keep opening the door, sharing the love, and the Most High is going to send you those that need to hear the word that you have for them. So I'm going to be talking to the brothers tonight on trying to get our men a part of being in these young men's lives, right? It's a whole bunch of them out there, right? It's a whole bunch, and they really need us, you know. And like I said, we don't got to show up at Mr. Tim thing. You can start your own thing. And that's what I did. I started my own thing. People laughed at me talking about a healing circle. What is that? Is that church? What is the healing circle for the youth? What is that? It's just something to connect with our youth. That's all it is. And let them know that they are the future. They might not be my future, but they're the future. And it ain't going to be anything unless we give them something to stand on. A lot of these young folks is brilliant. And I told you last night, man, there's a 9-year-old in there that was reading from the Black History card. And he said, "Today I'll be speaking on..." And I said, "Whoa, a 9-year-old, y'all, a 9-year-old. He said, "Today I'll be speaking on," and he said his name, and he read the card, and he was 9 years old. That's the brilliancy we have in our community. But if we don't get that baby at the age he is now, when he gets 17, ain't nobody put no attention into him, he going to go find attention. And then, like I asked him last night to the young men, a lot of things happen negatively when we're bored, huh? Oh, I said, and if you feel that way, raise your hand. Boy, them hands went up. Because they know when they feel that they're bored and then no attention is being transferred to them, then they're going to go look for some attention. And most of the time, the attention that they attract is bad attention. And so just know that, man, we all have a job to do in our community, man. We all do. And I lift you up. If you need me to help you do what you need to do, holler at me. Because that's where I'm a helper. I'm a builder. I assist real well. Then I'm going to back up out your way. See, I don't want to be in your way. Because there's too many ways to be in. Oops. I'm going to pass the mic. I'm on my soapbox. Peace.
So you had alluded earlier to you don't want it to be about you. And I contend that it is not about you. It is about the circumstance that you are personally testifying about. And the circumstance still remains. What are we going to see? You know, I talked to a young man yesterday about, oh, I talked to Michelle. Are you on the line? Okay, Mama Chocolate, I talked to her about the situation that exists with a lot of people who are caught up in either the throes of addiction or habitual behavior. There's a difference between addiction and habituation. Right?
I'm here.
Because, okay, so remember what I was saying to you, and I'll say it, and hopefully it'll resonate, is that when we're in a crux and we're looking for something to change, it's important to recognize that we have to do something that we don't want to do.
No,
and that's something, that's one of the areas that I think is a challenge for a lot of our people. We don't want to do what we don't want to do. We want to keep doing what we want to do and think that sooner or later it's going to work out. And it's a possibility that it may, because, again, Tim talks about consistency. Consistency has its place. However, you want to operate only in your comfort zone, and your comfort zone is where the challenge is, then you have to step out the box and see about what it is that you're not doing, even if you don't want to do it.
Right.
Start doing it. Start doing it. And watch how right. easy it gets after a while. Because practice creates an ease to continue. When you start practicing something, after a while, whether you wanted to do it or not, it's easier for you to do. And it becomes something that you recognize that even if you don't want to do it, it's something you're supposed to do in the first place. So this is all in that undercurrent that's in the undercurrent of all we're talking about, is that our people would do well to start recognizing what we don't want to do, but really need to do. I don't want to kick it with duty, like, you know, he act like that. But when we get to the constituency stage, I don't have to like you. I just have to like the fact that if we work together, we can get done what we both see needs to get done. And then we can operate and make a decision about that other stuff, the personal stuff afterwards. Principle over personality.
Mm-hmm.
And now you.
Okay. I'm going to piggyback a little bit off of Mr. Marvell and Brother Tim. Yes, consistency is one of the key things when it comes to our youth. I just want to say from experience, seeing my children and the people that were in their circle, the consistency part played an important role. And once it's a consistency, it's like a pattern, right? And so they develop a program. Okay, well, he's going to come here. He's going to come at this time, or they're going to call at this time. And once they do that, you know, the things were better. But at the same time, my children strayed away because of other peers or other things that were going on around them, and they got distracted and not knowing that the people in front of them right now are actually the ones that's going to better their situation or, you know, continue this journey, even though you may not think it's going to, you know, happen, even though this is out of your comfort zone, it's okay. But you got to stick to it. You know, what you put in is what you get out. And once again, people are in your life for a reason, a season, and a moment. And you have to make sure that you can identify who those people are. Are they there for a reason? What reason are they there for? Are they there for a season? Are they there for a moment? And we have to identify with that. And I just hope that my kids' journey will not only teach them that, you know, you can come out of the storm, but what did you learn out of that? And you can move on from your wrong, as long as you could, you know, you put in the work to do what you need to do to get better. And I'm hoping to come up there real soon. I'm not gonna. I'm making some moves right now, so you might see me in a couple of days, Brother Tim. I'm thinking when you said the skate party, the family night. You know, our youth are so much involved in online and the social media, just going out, having them do something different, other than being on a computer. That's a plus. All these kids, all they know is tech stuff, you know, the platforms. But just what about the regular board games? What about the regular, let's going out, let's go out and do something? That I want to tell you, keep it up. Even with the fishing, when my kids went to meet Mr. Tim for the first time, my son caught a catfish. He ain't never caught a catfish in his life. And that was one of the joyous moments of his journey. And I just want to say, Mr. Tim, you may not reach everybody, but if you reach one person, believe me, you have done your job. I digress.
Ashe. And so it is the God in me that pours into our young folks. I was them young folks when I was coming up. My daddy died when I was 9 years old. I felt alone, didn't know what cancer was and why he had to leave me at an early age, so I acted out. You know, I wasn't Mr. Tim back then. I was terrible Timmy, right? And so my grandma got a straightening with me. She said, son, you can't be mad at what God has done. This is God's work. And I didn't understand at that time. And so I continue on my path. And so I know a lot of our young folks, they have anger about certain issues. One being, if their daddy ain't in their life, that's a big problem. That's a big problem. You mean I got to come in a world that I didn't actually come into, and I got to deal with the things I'm dealing with, and then I ain't got my pops with me or my mom with me? Kids be upset about that. Real talk. They ain't going to say it, and some will. And so a lot of times I try to be a surrogate, right? I try to fit in where their daddy is not, you know. And a lot of times them youth, they give me their trust because they see the consistency, right? The consistency. But the thing about it is I'm always say this. I'm only one person. I can't be if I'm working with two young men that is having a hard time, I can't work with 10 young men that's having a hard time because I'm really focused on getting these needs met, right? And because I'm only me, I'm not able to move like I want to. I wish I could. That's why I always tell the brothers, heal first so we can get out and do this work. Because I am you, you are me, and these kids, these youth, they should stop calling them kids. These youth need to see that. They don't just need to see Mr. Tim. They don't need to see you at Mr. Tim's. They need to see you on your soapbox doing the same thing, saving babies and making a change right? And so I just ask brothers and sisters, even sisters, man, we got some young ladies that's struggling out here, man, that have an identity crisis, right? They don't know how to fix themselves up. They don't, no one's giving them the opportunity to learn how to sew. There's no one teaching them how to cook. We say it starts at the home, but if your home is in dysfunction and we're barely surviving and we're not thriving, then that's where the village comes in, y'all. The village. It takes a village, man. And I'm a part of the village. I don't know about the village you are a part of, because for so many years when people was telling me it takes a village to raise youth, I said, no, it ain't, because the village we have is dysfunctional. We can't even get Mr. Johnson to talk to Mr. Charles. They the kids are seeing you say, I don't mess with him. They see their mama say, oh, I don't mess with old girl. Don't you mess with them. That's what they see, and they can attach to that quicker than they can some positive stuff. That negative, it's easy to attach to, because there's nothing that needs to come behind that. But when you're doing positive things, there's a lot that comes behind doing positive things, and that's being consistent, being truthful, and being transparent. Whew. Let me pass this mic again. Peace and blessings, y'all.
Yeah, undoubtedly, man. See, yeah. Yeah, see, the gleaning from a working model, right, that's one of the areas that I think is important for observers to start focusing on. If somebody is having some success with the population that we want to influence, then get humble and duplicate what they're doing. Duplicate it, right? Or, you know, it's like you can take something that someone, a concept that someone has or a method that they have, and you get the fundamentals now, then you get loose and creative, and you add to them with your own character and personality. But until then, if you see something is working with the population that we want to impact, do the same thing. And that way the consistency is broad spread. Everybody's saying the same thing. Because that's what, it might sound like a stretch, but when we talk about things like reparations, if people don't know about it, then they won't talk about it. And if they don't talk about it when the decision is made, the decision's going to be, well, shit, they ain't talking about it. They don't act like they ain't on it, so we'll give them a little something, but, you know, we ain't going to give them what they got coming because they act like they don't want it. They ain't saying nothing. I ain't hearing nothing. The consciousness is low. I need to hear that they know that they know. I need to hear that. I need to feel that. They know that they know. So that's what I'm saying about our young people. They important for them to know that we are on the same page, like the village used to be in the neighborhood where you walk down the street, you do something. Somebody, hey, boy, what you doing? I'm going to tell your mama. Oh, okay, Mr. Bass. Okay, I got you. Look, I don't do it no more. Just know, okay, you ain't got to tell my mom. I got you. I ain't going to do that no more. And then if I do it again, it's like, boy, I'm telling her this time. Then when I get home, he done told on me. And now I got to reckon with all of the aftermath of me not doing what I knew I was supposed to do in the first place. And I had correction there, and I had direction there, and I defied it, so now I'm on punishment, right? So we need to be consistent in our messaging when we work with these kids, and we need to follow methods that we see someone else is getting the results on. Because what I'm experiencing, my experience has been that when I work with youth in Cleveland, Ohio, I work with 4 different agencies, all working with young people. And what I've discovered is that when I have influence with the youth that I'm working with, the parents, rather than talking with me and say, hey, Jack, how you doing this? I ain't seen them do this, and they doing that. And instead of really talking to me, I guess it's envy or jealousy or something, they start like, nah, she can't come today. And then they even trade workers because they don't want to get honest with the fact that somebody has influence over their youth that they don't have themselves. And it's a conflict. It's a rivalry now. I'm the rival rather than an assistant or a possible remedy for the challenge. Now it's like rivalry. So these are the things that is important, I think, just so we shake down the details of these things when we're talking, and we get more in depth so that we can turn the rock over and see the worms, where the worms at, right? And some people like worms for fishing. Some people don't like worms, you know, because they ooky. But we at least can get to them and make a decision about what we're going to do with them. Got to turn the rock over, though. So that's what we're doing. We turn the rock, and we're looking in-depthly at what it is that we would do well to focus on to improve ourselves and improve our culture and improve our group and to stand in the gap for what we know we can represent in this country. Because I'm going to say it again before this thing is over, that we are the real patriots of this country. Check the record. We're the patriots. We're the ones who fought for this country. We're the ones who endured more when we came back from war. We're the ones that just get the short end of everything that this country has to offer. We're the ones who created inventions that are worldwide now and put this country on the map. We're the ones that harvest the crop to put this country on the map. We're the ones that took the Olympics to gold when it used to be bronze and silver. We're the dream team gold medal winners. And wasn't no black folks on the dream team. I mean, wasn't no white folks on the dream team. It's all black people. And that's why they call it the dream team, because you couldn't have dreamt up no more talent than what they displayed when they played the game. And when we play the game, we win. So check the dossier. We're the Patriots. So let's stand in there, folks. Let's represent that in all our affairs, and get rid of all of the little loose ends, the cobwebs that's stopping us from moving freely and seeing clearly who we are individually and who we can be as a collective in this country. I yield.
To God be the glory. This is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. And I want to thank my dear friend, Marvell Wilson. I want to thank my dear friend, Mama Chocolate. I want to thank my dear friend, Brother Larry. I want to thank my dear friend, Double R. I want to thank my dear friend, Uncle Joe. I want to thank my dear friend, Miss Clarice. I want to thank my dear friend, Craig, better known as Way Busy. And I want to thank you as the listeners to this show, because this show doesn't go unless you push it, right? And so for our callers out there, we want you to be in tune to the conversation daily, because the conversations that we have are just that, conversations. And that's where we need to start, having conversations with one another, about one another, and for one another, right? Because this world that we live in, unless you get a boost from your inner circle, or you get an upliftment, encouragement, or inspiration from the people that you deal with, you will feel like you're alone out here. And maybe you are alone in some of your thoughts, but not in all your thoughts, right? And so share your thoughts right here on the Wise Words with One Gone Show. We're here daily from 9 to 11 Pacific time and from 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time. And so we'd love for you to come aboard and be a part of the discussion. We are looking for change. We are the change agents. And so when we come together and speak on issues, it's about love. It's not to point anything out about anyone or talk about anyone. What we're doing is uplifting each other in conversation right here on the station. I am DJ One Gone, and we're out of this G thing. I thank y'all. Y'all have a wonderful day, and God bless you, and I'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace and blessings, and
90 seconds.
We're out.